Hallelujah. Lift up your voice and ask Jesus to manifest His power here this morning. His power will be manifested. It will swallow up every sickness, every disease, anything making anyone uncomfortable. Speak to the Rock of Ages this morning. My Father and my God, come and manifest your power in this service. Your people came to you. They didn't come to see a man. Father, you will show up for them. Even this morning, you will swallow up death in victory. You will swallow up sicknesses. Diseases will be taken out. Even in this service, lift up your voice to heaven right now. Lift up your voice to heaven. Ask Him. Ask Him this morning, Father, this is my desire. Manifest your power. Even in this place, thank you and thank you and thank you. We give you praise and we give you glory. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed. Amen. The season of revival is the season of empowerment, where God Himself comes down in the midst of His people. And when He comes down in the midst of His people, it results in their empowerment. He begins to do wonders. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is what? Mighty. He will do mighty things for you this morning. He will do strange things for you this morning. What has been hanging, it will drop for you this morning. Anyone called sick is going home healed this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ. But in 30 seconds, lift up your own voice and say, Lord, my expectation, let it not be cut off. Let not mine expectation be cut off. Let not mine expectation be cut off. This is my desire this morning, my expectation this morning. Lord, let it come to pass. Let it come quickly. Thank you, Holy One. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed. Amen. In Jesus' marvelous name, we pray. Amen. Well, we all know that today is Father's Day. Glory to God. Today is our day. Glory to God. But before we do anything this morning, the Bible encourages us to celebrate our fathers in the faith, to celebrate our spiritual heads first. And so that's what we are all going to do this morning in our standing position. We are going to be praying for God's servant, Bishop David Oyedepo, Bishop Thomas Aremu, Bishop David Abioye, that their strength will not go down. Amen. Lift up your voice this morning. Speak to the Lord concerning our fathers in the faith. Pray for them this morning. Pray for them this morning. Their strength will not go down. Wisdom will continue to increase. Impact will continue to increase. Their impact will increase on every side. We shall continue to see it. We'll continue to experience it. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we commit them into your mighty hands. Do new things in their lives. Do strange things in their lives. They are our example, Lord. And as we follow them, let them follow, continue to follow Jesus. Father, we thank you. Lord, we exalt you. In Jesus' most glorious name, we have prayed. Amen. In Jesus' marvelous name, we have prayed. Amen. Now, all men, take your seat. All fathers in the house, please be comfortably seated. Now, women, stretch forth your hands towards them and begin to pray for each and every one of them. Pray for them this morning. Pray for them this morning. Speak to their lives. They have been made heads already. They will not be the tail. Celebrate them. Celebrate them. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you. We exalt you for men. We give you praise and we give you glory. Thank you, Holy One. In Jesus' most glorious name, we have prayed. In Jesus' marvelous name, we have prayed. Very quickly, Genesis chapter 1, 26 to 28 tells us seven blessings that men are going home with this morning. It says they will begin to dominate in every area of their lives. He said they will be blessed on all sides. They will be fruitful in everything you touch. The Lord multiply you in every good thing you touch. The Lord put your hands, whatever you lack right now, you begin to experience abundance. You will begin to be above, just like God's original design for you. Begin to conquer from today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please celebrate men everywhere. Make sure you congratulate minimum 7 men this morning. Women, please make sure you congratulate minimum 7 men this morning. Make sure you congratulate minimum 7 fathers this morning. Everyone looking unto Jesus to be celebrated, to be a father. In the next 9 months, you are also returning with your baby. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the next 9 months, you are also returning with your babies. In the name of Jesus the Christ. Be blessed on every side. Put those hands together for the Lord. Please put your hands together for the Lord. Be blessed in Jesus' marvelous name. Hallelujah. Keep clapping for Jesus. You will celebrate them after service. No challenge. You are taking them out. Don't worry. Glory to God. Put those hands together for the Lord. Please be seated a moment. Hallelujah. Let's be reminded of our teaching series for the month. For Sunday services, Understanding the Blessedness of a Revival. And this will be part 3A. Understanding the Blessedness of a Revival. I saw some things in scriptures that, based on scriptures, God comes down from my own study 2 times he visits his people. There are two occasions that God visits his people. The first occasion is when he's angry. Anytime God is angry, he comes down. The Bible speaking in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 5. And Miriam and Aaron speak against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. He says, for he had married an Ethiopian woman, and they said, had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses, had he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. And when the Lord heard it, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron, unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they came, and the three came out. And the Lord what? The Lord came down. The Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle. When your biological father comes home angrily and says, follow me now to the room, it will not be pleasant. Glory to God. So every time God comes down angry, you know that it cannot be pleasant. Glory to God. Every time he comes down angry, it resulted, in this case, it resulted in Miriam being struck with leprosy. But the second time he comes down is when he shows mercy. In his mercy, many things happen. He delivers, there will be deliverance, there will be revival when he shows mercy. Acts of Apostles chapter 7 and verse 34. He said, I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and I am come down to deliver them. In other words, I have had mercy on them. I've seen their groanings, I've seen their suffering, and now I am come down to deliver them. Exodus 3, 7 to 8. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Another time he comes down, Habakkuk chapter 3, 2 to 3. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years make known, and in wrath remember mercy. It's still about mercy. And then the Bible says God came. God came. And when every time he shows up in mercy, it results in our profiting. Every time he shows up in mercy, it results in our profiting. And we are in the midst of the year, which means he's here already. God in the midst of his people. In Matthew chapter 5, 14 to 16. It is the season where we are unhideable. It is the season where we cannot be hid. He says, ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. He said, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, for it giveth light unto all that are in the house. In the midst of a revival, we cannot be hid. You saw that drama. No. This is not how to tap into blessings. There is a way, there is an easier way. What is the easier way? Go on top of the hill, announce that Jesus is Lord. Go and meet with everyone and tell them to come to Christ. And what has been eluding you will be handed over to you. In the midst of a revival, things happen. Some things will happen to you this time. It will show you off to your world. In the name of Jesus Christ. Revival time is a time of light. It says your light will shine. And the top, so you can't hide light. Light cannot be hid. Everyone that bears light can never be hid. So revival time is a time of light, and light in turn shows us off. Revival time brings glory to God, and we are glorified in return. When God sees the multitude, you remember the drama? They went out. The intention is to draft multitudes into the kingdom. When multitudes are drafted to him, he is glorified. When he's glorified, inside his glorification lies our glorification. He said in Micah chapter 4 verses 1 to 2, he says, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. When the church becomes a flowing, our glorification becomes an open door, an open example. From now, the blessings you'll be seeing will never be hid again.
Amen.
I didn't hear your amen.
It
says in Acts 13:44, and the next Sabbath they came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. So the season of revival is the season of glorification. But what is a revival? What is a revival? Let's take a look at one or two very quickly this morning. A revival is the move of the Spirit that moves the spirit of men to serve God. A revival is a move of the Spirit that moves the spirit of men to serve God. When the spirit of men are moved by the Spirit of God to serve, there is a revival. When people are not coerced to serve, there is a revival. When people are not being begged to serve, there is a revival. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 14, the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel. Not only the one, he also moved the spirit of Joshua, son of Joseph. He also moved the spirit of the remnant of the people. And everybody came to do the work. All of them came because their spirit was moved by the Spirit of God to do the work. So they came to do the work. So in Haggai chapter 2, verses 3 to 4, they said, now that everybody's, who is left among you that saw this house in our first estate, in his first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, son of, be strong, O Joshua, the high priest, be strong. All the people that the spirit were moved. And what? Continue to walk. For what? I am with you. I am with you, said the Lord of hosts. Every time the Spirit of God moves our spirit to walk for him, it means that God is with us. When we are serving from the heart, not from the head. Serving from the heart, serving without looking for anything from anyone, serving without expecting a clap. Serving without expecting recognition. Serving because I said some time ago at the Covenant Tower of Prayer, if you remember, there was one in scriptures. He said, I only am remaining. They have killed all your prophets. I'm the only one remaining. God said, no, you are not the only one remaining. I have 7,000 others who have never bowed to Baal. So, your service it shouldn't be about, if I'm not there, nobody will do it. It should be, if I'm not there, somebody may not do it. It is not that nobody will do it because there is somebody that will do it if you and I are not here. But I'm going there because if I'm not there, there may be nobody to do it. So that means it's not about me. It's not about you. If I were not to, if I drop this microphone now and I say I'm not doing it again, the service will continue. How many believe it? It could be a brother in this church that will say, I watch Papa. I can do it. I can preach. And it will continue from where I stopped. And the people will be blesser. Glory to God. The people will be more blessed than what? Where have you been hiding? God says, I have 7,000 other people that you don't know of. So all this, my shoulder in serving God, it is because it is not from your heart. If it is from your heart, you will do it with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. When we do it like that, it means we are in a revival. I have seen before in one of the churches that these people, because they don't like, they just want to be read. I don't even know what English to use. While service is going on, and people are leading praise or preaching, they mute the microphone in service. Let's take their voice. What kind of, until they were found out, what kind of service is that? And it's serious. No, that's not the only one. Somebody is saying, okay, I'm the one to lead praise. And because they showed me yesterday, me too, I will show them today. I won't go. When the spirit of man is what? Steered by the spirit of God to serve God, not for looking for nothing. We are in a revival. The Lord give you understanding. Amen. I said the Lord give you understanding. Amen. What is the revival? Number two, a revival is a move of the Spirit that terminates all frustrations and afflictions in the life of the revivalist. A revival is a move of the Spirit that terminates all frustrations and afflictions in the life of the revivalist. So everyone engaged in a revival, their everlasting mountains are terminated in a revival. When we see that, then we are in a revival. We are in a revival when you are suddenly turned from being frustrated to being an envy. Glory to God. When you suddenly turn, you saw that drama, that lady that said, I'm homeless. I don't even have nothing anymore. In the midst of a revival, it will not take God 3 months to turn her story. She will be turned from being frustrated to being an envy. That will be somebody's testimony here. Yeah. I said that will be somebody's testimony here. Yeah. When God shows up, I keep saying it, he shows off. Every time God shows up, it is opportunity for him to show off. Zephaniah 3, 17 to 20. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. And then he said, behold, at that time, I will undo all that afflict thee. In other words, I will change your frustration. I will terminate your frustration. And then I will turn you to an envy to your world. And I will save her that halted and gather her that was driven out. And I will get them praise and fame in the land where they have been put to shame. Where they have been put to shame is still the place where they will be clapping for them. Where they have been put to shame is the place where they will be put to fame. In
the midst of a revival. That is how to know if we are in a revival. We are in a revival. You see, marriage is coming up in the midst of the year. And that's not the end. Watch out for more. You will be next. In the name of Jesus Christ. He said, and I will bring you again. And if, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth when I turn back your captivity before your eyes. In other words, I will change your story before your very eyes. Before your very eyes. Before people start laughing at you. Before they complete laughing at you, they will start laughing with you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Habakkuk chapter 3, 2 to 4. He said, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. And he said, God came. And when God came, everything began to change. Verse 17, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. He says, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And then what will happen? The Lord God of my strength. And the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places. You remember what that lady said? She said, no, there is no door here. We have left that one behind. People have moved forward. He said, but you can catch up with them. You can catch up with them. Not only can you catch up with them, you can overtake them if you do what he says to do. In the midst of a revival, you can catch up and overtake anyone that has gone ahead. It is scriptural. Glory to God. He says we are moving from what? Glory. To glory. To glory. If somebody decides to stop at one glory, somebody can catch up and overtake. There is overtaking in the kingdom. Glory to God. But for someone, you will never be stagnant again. What is the revival? Number three, when the word of God continues to come alive in one's heart in increasing dimensions. When the word of God continues to come alive in one's heart in increasing dimensions. In other words, when God's word is in the heart and not in the head, we are in a revival. Jeremiah 31, 34, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. He says, why? For they shall all know me. In the season of revival, when you are not studying to preach, but studying to live, we are in a revival. When we are not studying to preach, but studying to live, when you are in choir practice and somebody say, and we say, oh, it's time to share the word, and somebody has not been told before, but says it's time to share the word, and is just eager to share what they just had, what they just saw this morning. And it's not a revival time. Is not when you now say to somebody, share the word, and you say, ah, it's well. I don't think I in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word is still God. A season of revival is the season where we sit down and study the word of God for revelation. Not to teach, but for revelation. When every time we pick the word, it speaks to us. Every time. When every time we pick the word, it shows us something. Acts 19:20, so mightily grew the word and prevailed. When the word of God begins to prevail in the midst of his people, we are in a revival. Glory to God. What is a revival? Number four, when going to church becomes a way of life. We are in a revival when going to church ceases to be a burden, but becomes a way of life. We are in a revival when we go to church as if we are going to the house of our lover. Nobody is tired of going to the house of his or her lover, no matter how far. People will take flights to go and visit their lover. They will fly. Psalms 122. Look at what David said. David, the revivalist. David, the lover of God. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And if you love that house, you will pray for that house. If you love his house, you will pray for. So David said in verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. In other words, I love the house of my God so much, nobody can beg me to show up there. I'm even going there to pray. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. Go, keep going. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace within thee. Because of the house of the Lord, our God, I will seek thy good. In other words, I will not only pray for that house, I will seek the good of that house. I will seek the good of that house. If you're just like you seek good in your father's house, this is your heavenly father's house. If your thoughts are not good about the house, you are not the lover of the house. David said, I will seek good of this house, of that house. We always end up in a place we love. Your lover's house cannot be far. In fact, your lover will question you. If he say, I didn't see you yesterday. You know your house is far. You are not ready to marry. You are not ready to marry yet. My house is far. I will try and see if I can come next week. Your heart is not there. It is because your heart is not there. As I used to say, if it is in Edmonton, he will go there every week. Every week. Every week. You are going to Edmonton again? Yeah. It's not far. It's just right there. It's right there. Edmonton is just about 3.5 hours. Abby, right? It's just about 3.5 hours. Once I hit that highway, it's straight down. Straight down. Every week he goes there. Every week he comes back. Now his lover is in his house. And then somebody says, oh, you used to go to Edmonton. Please, can you take me that to where? No, Edmonton is far. And you know gas is expensive now. Edmonton is too far. Why? Because his heart is no longer there. If your heart is in your father's house, your father's house will not be far. But you know how people drive to Canaan land? Somebody was telling me that they were in Nigeria sometime, and the church they were going to, they left the house at 4 a.m. on Sunday morning in order to get there for full service. 4 a.m. You know, it is because the cold here, you know, because when we are here now, to even show up at 8 o'clock for 8 o'clock service is trouble for some people, for somebody. To go to Northeast? From Northeast? It's far. To go to Northeast? Northeast? Near Sheraton? From Northeast Redstone? That's far. Your heart is not there. Your lover's house can never be far. Look at what David said again. Psalm 87 verses 1 to 7. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. This is the reason I keep going every day. He says, my soul longeth, yea, my even fainted for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cried out for the living God. He says, even birds love to come to your house. Birds. If he said the sparrow had found an house and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts. Look at TLB. How lovely is your temple, O Lord of the armies of heaven. I long, yes, faint with longing to be able to enter your courtyard and come near to the living God. Even the sparrows and swallows are welcome to come and nest among your altars. And they have their young. They are giving birth on the altar. They prefer to give birth on the altar than to go outside to give birth. Why? Because it is the house of the Lord. We are in a revival when going to church becomes a delight. I remember somebody many years ago that didn't have a car but will never miss service. Didn't have a car but will never miss service. Was always in service. Now got a car, not always in service. So I called the person one day. I said, what changed? Hey, Pastor, you not understand. I said, I understand though. No, okay, make me understand. What changed? Pastor, you not understand. The short, long and short of the story is, I'm now busy because of my car. The blessing that will take you away from him, may he not release it to you. Amen. Some people can't say amen. No? Amen. Glory to God. What's in it? Because somebody's believing God for $1 million and he knows that church will be something else. When the 1 million comes, the Lord will give you understanding. What is in a revival for us? What's in a revival for us? Number one, financial fortune is unleashed on engaging believers in a revival. Financial fortune. Remember what David said in Psalm 122 and verse 1? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And then he said in verse 6, take note very quickly. He said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall what? Prosper. They shall prosper that love thee. So in a revival, we love his house. In a revival, he unleashes financial fortune on revivalists. Lovers of his house are in a revival, and the end result is prosperity. There is unusual prosperity in a revival. You may work as many shifts as you want. If God does not release his blessings on that paycheck, it will be a waste. It is the blessings of the Lord that maketh what? Rich. Not the paycheck. It is the blessing of the Lord. Take as many shifts as you like. It will change nothing if you don't regard him first. Haggai chapter 2, 3 to 9. Who is left among you that saw this house in his first glory? And how do you see it now? Now, when you now go into a revival, this is what I will do. Verse 6. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens, and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory. And the Lord of hosts, saith the Lord of hosts, the silver is mine. And the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former. That will be your testimony. Yeah. He said, blessings don't come from paycheck. He said, for me, I can shake everything. I can bring resources to you from any source. He said, yeah, I can bring it from the heavens, shake the heavens, and can bring it from the earth. I can bring it from the sea. I can bring it from the dry land. I can bring it from any nation. Why? How? I will open my treasures and release prosperity to you in the midst of a revival. No one here will be referred to as broke again. Amen. You won't be called poor again. Amen. Debts will be canceled now. Financial crunch will turn to financial prosperity in the name of Jesus Christ. What is in a revival for us? Divine health. Divine health. Divine health becomes the lot of every engaging believer in a revival. Again, David said in Psalm 84, verses 1 to 2, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts, my soul longed, yea, even fainted for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cried for the living God. And this is one of the reasons. Verse 7, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion that appears before God, they will not lose their strength. He says sickness will actually be taken away from them. When they are in the midst of a revival is a proof, because they will begin to serve me. And as they serve me, I take sickness away from them. Exodus 23, 25 to 26. It says, and ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. It says, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. He says, there shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in the land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. Sicknesses are taken off in a revival. 2 Corinthians 5, 19 to 20. He says, he turns in a revival, we are ambassadors. And to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. He says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. And every faithful ambassador, every faithful revivalist enjoys good health. Proverbs 13, 17. But a faithful ambassador is health. No one will lose their strength again. Amen. What is in a revival for us? Number three, we are empowered to command the supernatural. We are empowered to command the supernatural. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I've learned some things from our fathers in the faith. One day, God's servant, Pastor Bishop David Abiyi, was in one of our churches in the United States, and he was about going to board back to Nigeria. And here was this pastor that took him to the airport, running and running and running in front of him, to the point that the bishop said, Pastor, calm down. Relax now. He said, sir, you're about to miss your flight. They will soon take off. Bishop said, they will wait for us. He said inside him, this is not Dominion here. This is not Dominion here. This is Delta. Delta will not wait for anybody. They won't wait for you. He says he was just running and running, and the man just started coming calmly. He said, by the time they got to the gate, they said the flight had been delayed. They waited for them. In command of the supernatural. They said the flight had been delayed. He was like, the pastor now looked at him. He said so. Command of the supernatural. There are some things we take for granted, but that is actually working in our favor. Say it. Say it. People may mock you, but God is waiting for you to say it. Isaiah 8, 18. Behold, I am the children whom the Lord had given me. Are for what? Signs and wonders in Israel. Signs and wonders in Israel. Somebody will be healed this morning. Please, because the commander of the supernatural is our commandant. The commander of the supernatural is our commandant. So he can command, he commands the supernatural at will. And we are permitted to command the same at will. Luke 9, chapter 1 and 2. Then, verses 1 and 2. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases. What was the power he gave them? And he said in verse 2, and he sent them to, in verse 6, and they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Healing everywhere. The power he handed over to them was the power of the anointing oil. He gave them the anointing oil. So in this service, by the power of the oil, every tormentor of your life shall be tormented. Amen. Take note, the word of God is the balm in Gilead. That means God's word is our medicine. Jeremiah 8, 20 to 22. He said, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. He said, for the heart of the daughter of my people I am hurt. I am black. Astonishment has taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? This is what it means. Physicians prescribe drugs. Patients take the drug. Physicians are the pastors, prophets. Patients are those who are sick. So he was asking them, don't you have people to prescribe the drugs, or are you not taking it as it should be taken? Because why are you sick? I have made available everything that will make you whole or give you health. Why are you still sick? So he said, Proverbs 4, 20 to 22, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ears to my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Not in your head, but in your heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. The word of God gives life. John 1, 1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was on the word was with God, and the word was God, and what was in that word, in him was life. Inside the word is life, and the life was the light of men. Inside the word is life. So he said, if you have light based on the word, that sickness will dry off, because it's like you are taking a drug. Take the drug of the word. It will answer in your system. Now, so he said, this is why I'm saying it. Job 33, 21 to 25. He said his flesh is consumed the way that it cannot be seen. And his bones that were not seen stick out. Yea, his soul draweth unto the grave, and his life to the destroyers. But if there be a messenger with him, someone that can prescribe the drug, if there be a messenger with him, and there are not too many of them, someone that can prescribe the drug, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, if he decides to take the drugs, this is what happens. Then he's gracious unto him and said, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. And what happens? His flesh suddenly shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. By what? He shall return to the days of his youth. How? By taking the drug. When you go to doctors and you go back again 2 weeks, he says, come back in 2 weeks. And you go back in 2 weeks, and then he tests you again. He says, there is no improvement. The first question is, did you take the drug? If you said yes, did you take it the way I said you should take it? Because if he said you should take two and you are taking one, it won't work. He says, take two. No, the drug is too big. My throat can only take one. So I will take one today. I will take the other one tomorrow. The touch of the word has capacity to heal. Luke 6, 17 to 19. And he came down with them and stood in the plain and the company of his disciples and great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. The whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and healed them all. Virtue out of him. Virtue went out of the word. Every time we are taking a dose of the word, it is virtue we are taking. We are taking our drugs in the world, and it affects the body. Until you have that mentality, it may never work. You are partaking of the drug. One other drug that the scriptures gives us is the anointing oil. The anointing oil. Matthew 8, 16 to 17. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirit with his word. With his word first. And then in Matthew 10, 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power over unclean spirits to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease. So apart from the word of God, another potent drug, prescribed in scriptures is the anointing oil. The anointing oil. And what is in the oil? Verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. And there was healing everywhere. Listen to this. There is what is called oppressions of the devil. Medical science has no solution to that one. Oppression. What medical science has solution to is oppression of the body. Oppression of the system. There is what is called oppressions of the devil. Acts 10:38. He says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? For God was with him. Oppression of the devil. Paul warned Timothy. He said to Timothy, oh Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:20, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. Oppositions of science. There are things that science cannot solve, but there are others that are oppressions of the devil. Oppressions of the devil. Or who can explain why you take a shot of the oil and then somebody began to excrete cowries? How do you explain it? Which scan machine will see it? Who can explain how somebody that doesn't have a womb still ended up putting to bed 3 boys? It is inexplainable, but undeniable. In this service, that's what God will do for someone. Amen. Whatsoever oppression of the devil you have suffered, you are dropping it off now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said you are dropping it off now. Rise up on your feet with me. This oil will work for you. Amen. It will work in your hands. Amen. It will work in every department of your life. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lift up your voice to heaven this morning very quickly and just ask Jesus, Lord, before the oil even comes on my head, Jesus, you see me, you have known me, you know where I need help. Let help come to me speedily. In whatever area of your life, whatever area of your body, your system, that you need help, Lord, I receive that help right now. I receive that help right now. I receive that help right now. Thank you, Holy One. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed. Amen. Your amen is weak.
Amen.
In Jesus' marvelous name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Well, before we partake of the oil, anointing oil this morning, somebody is here this morning that wants or needs to give their life to Jesus. The word, both drugs that we have prescribed this morning, the word of God, the anointing, Lord, will only work in the hands of those who are with him. Will only work in the hands of those who are with him. Therefore, this morning, you are not in his camp. You don't know him. He doesn't know you. And you want him to know you. Or you knew him before, but you walked out on him. But now you want to return. Why not this morning? You are in any of those two categories, all heads bowed now and all eyes closed. If you are in any of those two categories, please put your right hand on your heart. Let me quickly pray with you and for you. Put your right hand on your heart. Let me pray with you and for you. You want to say, Lord, have mercy on me. Take away all sicknesses and diseases from my life. Have mercy on me, Lord. Someone else is saying, Lord, I want to rededicate my life to you. Why not this morning? If you are doing that right now, please repeat these words after me. Say with me, Lord Jesus, I've come to you today just as I am. I know I'm a sinner, but I know you died for me. And on the third day, you rose again that I might be justified. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, because now I am born again. In Jesus' precious name. Father, thank you for these precious souls. Your grace brought them. The same grace will preserve them.
Amen.
These ones will never go back to perdition again. They will begin to take root downwards, bear fruit upwards, to the praise and to the glory of your name. In Jesus' most precious name we have prayed. In Jesus' marvelous name we pray. You said that prayer in your heart. Why not wave your hands to Jesus? You said that prayer in your heart. Why not wave your hands to Jesus? You said that prayer online. Send a text message. Church, I thought you were clapping. Send a text message to the number that has been displayed right now on the screen, and someone will be getting in touch with you. In Jesus' marvelous name. Now, I know we brought our oil. Some of us brought the oil. But we are going to bless this oil, and it will come to you, everyone, one by one as it goes. You anoint yourself, you pass it on to the next person, and we will still pray over your oil. You are now going to take a shot of your own oil that will cleanse everything, every whit, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, we declare this oil blessed. Amen. It is now declared the holy anointing oil.
Amen.
As your people partake of it, let power be taken from it.
Amen.
Lord, let power be released from it.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Whatsoever mountain of sickness, it shall be leveled here today.
Amen.
Whatsoever mountain of disease, it shall be leveled here today.
Amen.
Whatever mountain of mental health, it shall be cured here this morning.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Eternal Father.
Thank you.
Whatever name it is called, whatever sickness, whatever name it has been given, cancer, low blood pressure, high blood pressure, whatsoever name it has been given, for you, you shall receive a new name.
Amen.
They will look for it, they won't find it again.
Amen.
The healer is here, he's healing already.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And you are returning with your testimony.
Amen.
Thank you, Holy One.
Thank you, Lord
Jesus. Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed.
Amen.